That was a click. That was a click. I've only got one hand. I've got a bad back, you fucking disablest.
Sound like a wet clap.
Hey, that's a good point. You know, they call people, if you're prejudiced against the disabled, you're ableist. But isn't that the opposite of what they normally that the word would be? Like that's criticizing. No, not so.
Hold on. I've got music playing. I can't stop. Can you hear that?
What do you mean you can't stop? It's in your head, you fucking schizophrenic.
Hey, that is schiz.
But no, if you're transphobic, you're phobic against. It's got the word trans in it. You wouldn't say cisphobe. You would say, oh, you're cis. Oh, yeah, but it's ableist. Sicilist. That's what transphobic should be called.
Yeah, that'd be much easier, wouldn't
Sicilist.
It?
Sicilist. Like, I went into a Sicilist and came out a beautiful butterfly. Can I just say I've had about an hour's sleep because of my...
Why?
Because I've got... Well, I'll tell you, this is the thing. I've had a two-pronged... I mean, this is the seventh week of back, and I'm talking debilitating, let's say. It's easy.
It's bad. You're in bad way. Your shoulder's bad.
Do you know what? And this is the weird thing. I'm in a better and a worse way today, or lately.
Oh,
do you
why? Know
what? I'll tell you why. Because my problem is in my cervical spine, my neck. Because of my osteoarthritis and years of rugby and being a dickhead and doing heavy squats. And there was once an incident where I squatted deep, Ash. Oh, I went deep, bro. You know, you like it deep.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
Like that. And the bar rolled forward with like 150 kgs on it.
So you specifically remember this incident?
Oh, my God, it all crunched. Like, it rolled up my neck towards my head. And it went...
Big head.
Like that. Anyway.
Right.
So about 8 years ago, I had the scan. I had an x-ray. And they go, oh, have you been in a car? Have I told you this? They go, you've been in a car crash. I went, no.
Oh, my God. They That's go, how bad it is. That
they go,
like,
you've got
have
like...
You been...
Yeah, they you've got the sort of like...
fuck neck.
Comparable
syndrome.
Symptoms to severe whiplash. And I went,
so
oh,
it's like lasted.
Like, yeah, well, it's the bones all crushed and eroded, right? So that's pinching a nerve at the base of my neck. So when that happens, your traps and your scapula and all your muscles tense up to protect it, right? So that's horrible. So you've got the nerve pain, but
Isn't
I've also...
mad that we just go through this shit? Like, mate, you've had that and you're like, well, yeah, that's like that. I just deal with it. But he said, when I went to the physio today, he's like, oh, have you got any discomfort? And I'm like, well, really, the answer is constantly I'm in pain somewhere. It's nothing's been right for decades.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, carry on. Sorry.
No. But the thing with this is, so I've got constant pain with spikes.
Yeah.
And the way I explain it is, if you've got constant pain, like level, you can sort of get used to that.
Yeah.
And if you get the lightning rods of pain, they hurt and you never get used to them, but at least you get the rest in between. I've got constant pain with the light. Do you know what I mean? There's no, the baseline is pain and then I've got peaks. So anyway, all the muscles tense up and that in itself hurts because I thought I had a torn scapula, bad shoulder blade for years. Turns
it
out that.
It locks you down, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's referred pain. That's
locks
my.
You up and down.
My. sorry?
It locks. I said it locks you down and then I said it locks you up and then I said it locks you down and up. Both are valid.
That sounds like a Stockcake and Waterman song, doesn't it?
Don't know.
Never going to lock you down. Then I go, so the muscles now, probably in the last 4 days, they've stopped being tense like iron. And my muscles have relaxed.
Are you having some massages? I know you've been having
some
special
because it's
sweets.
Not muscular. This is the whole thing. I had been. And then the physio was like, no, well, this is not... Oh, you haven't got a muscular pain. This is referred pain. The nerve is trapped in your neck, and this is just where the pain is collecting, sort of thing.
Oh, God.
So as much as you rub that out, it might feel nice at the time. I had a tennis ball in a sock, which I saw someone do on YouTube, which did help. So you hold the long sock, you hold the tennis ball between you or your back and the wall. The sock's just so you don't drop it. And then you rub, and I get it. But she goes, that might give you some like instant relief, like as you're doing it, but it's not going to do anything.
You did feel benefit, did you? That's...
No. Well, like while the tennis ball is digging into your shoulder blade, you feel the benefit. Yeah. As soon as you step away from the wall, it's gone. It doesn't do anything. It's literally like It doesn't. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
You should gaffer tape it to your back.
Well, I just have. Well, this is the thing. So when I get in bed at night, the first hour is brutal. And it's like, the first hour you think, well, laying down's horrible, but it's just an hour. And then when I get up in the morning, the first hour's brutal. I get in the car, the first hour's brutal. I get out there. It's like.
Yeah, but the first hour for you is between midday and one, so.
But what's that got to do with anything?
No, I just wanted to mention we're recording this at one because you didn't wake up until 11.
I never do.
I'm so proud.
Well, why I work nights, mate? What the fuck? That's like saying, "Oh, you work on it." Oh, yeah, that bloke in night shift. I went round there at 1 in the afternoon. He was still asleep. Mm. So yeah, he works nights. You fucking weirdo. So the muscles have relaxed. So that isn't as bad. That's
great news.
But
oh,
when they are tense, they do protect it a lot because now every bump in the road, it's like my neck is like a pair of pliers just nipping at like any jolt. Like, but now the muscles do a lot of protection. You know, when you go to the doctor or anything, the physio, and they go, oh yeah, these muscles will compensate and tense up. You think, well, it's not doing anything. It really does help.
Yeah. So it stops you making those extra movements.
It just holds everything tight like a cast, right? So on one hand, I think it's something's improved, as in like all the muscles have relaxed. But on the other hand, that's made the actual nerve pain worse. And this is what I was trying to, like, I was thinking the other day, like, if you, like, cut your finger, like, there's tiny little nerves that go to your fingers, right? Yep. But this is pinched 3 inches away from the base of my brain. There must be a thicker there. It's so painful all the time. It's not a tiny pain signal is what I'm saying. This is like, you know, you got the motorway and then you got the B roads. The motorway goes down your spine. Then I think you've got A roads like down your limbs. Then you've probably got B roads to your fingers, if you know what I mean. This is an
A road. You've got
no.
A
this
road
is the motorway. Issue. This is that. Actually,
yeah. Oh, that's what. Yeah, that is what I meant. Yeah, because it's like, right by your brain.
Yeah. So it's probably like, I don't know if it's thick as a hose pipe, but I'd imagine it's a big old nerve.
I don't know how big nerves are. It could be.
I know your sciatic nerve's the biggest one, which is a hose pipe, so I guess it can't be, right?
Is the sciatic nerve the size of a hose pipe?
I think so, and it goes through your pelvis down to your ankle. Yeah. I've had sciatica as well, but this is worse because it's in my brain. It feels like it's in my brain.
Do you feel like you'd like someone to live in your body for a couple of days? Because I think I would. I think people would get into my body and go, what the fuck is going on there?
I've been in your body, and that's exactly what I thought.
You're like, what's going on there? I'm feeling all sorts of weird stuff.
But I... Yeah, so the thing is...
My arsehole is ribbed for your pleasure.
It is, isn't it? But it's just genital warts.
Yeah.
It's like getting sucked off by the Rancor monster.
What's that?
You know. It's the big monster that lives beneath Jabba the Hutt's trapdoor.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yet again.
What?
Yet again, he stumbles out and... thing about a monster that lives beneath Jabba the Hutt's palace. He can't help himself. Oh, God.
So
is that
anyway...
the one where it always affected me because the guy cries when Luke, I think, kills it or someone kills it. And he's like...
Yeah, the Rancor handler. I'll tell you, there's another... Do you know strange
is that
something...
his name?
No, I don't know. You know that there's some things that affect you like that?
Yeah, that.
Mad Max.
Oh.
This is the thing. 1, 2, or 3. I don't know which one it is. But there's a scene where the baddies... and in my mind, I've just realised I conflate them with the smokers from Waterworld. Different franchise. But that same sort of thing. They're like the pirates of the...
Yeah.
And there's one guy in it. And he's got a boomerang. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember the person.
And he's with his mates, and they're the baddies. And he throws the boomerang. And I think he reflexively or instinctively or whatever, he goes to catch it, it chops all his fingers off.
Oh, my God,
And I don't know if I'm super hypersensitive to humiliation, but I remember that scene traumatised me and made me more upset than like any other film I've ever seen. Like, I don't know, it really affected
yeah,
me.
Because he's a bad guy trying to kill people, yet he's lost all his fingers. And it's like,
I just didn't like how his friends turned. And I remember feeling the panic.
They're not your friends, mate. You're trying to impress them and do it, but they're not there for you.
And not just that, you know, when you feel that internal panic of something like, shit, I've just lost all my fingers. Having everyone laughing in your ears is so horrible to me.
Totally agree.
It's funny because George Foreman once spoke about what went through his head when he lost to... Oh, no, I don't think... I was going to say Ali and Zaire, but it might have been when he got knocked down against... I think he fought Ernie Shavers or someone. And he goes, and I'm on the deck. And he goes, and I can hear everyone whooping and cheering and ecstatic. And I had this moment where I was thinking, what's wrong with you all? Don't you know that I'm hurt? And he was a boxer trying to do that to the other guy.
Yeah.
It's such a strange...
Did he get up? What was
I think he did get up and win. I think. I don't know. Don't quote...
I won't quote you. Where would I?
Look,
Hold on, let me just tweet this.
I can hear you carving that into my tombstone. He...
he got up and won.
Got your fucking hammer and chisel out. He... don't quote me who he was fighting, but I definitely heard him say something a little bit like that, but totally different. I don't know. But it was something like...
I won't quote you. Don't quote me on this, but it's something a bit like that with a bit different than something else. Don't quote me, though.
Hang on, sorry. It was Delia Smith back when her first book came out. Got that wrong. Sorry. No, he did. He said,
don't you know I'm hurting?
He's going, what is... This? But I can imagine that... That's life, isn't it? You go into the ring... You knock
ultimately,
the other guy
you're
down.
On your own.
You knock the other guy down. You knock the other guy out. You stand on the bottom two ropes in the corner. Your arms are off, and everyone's cheering. There's a guy on the floor whose life is in tatters, is humiliated, who can also hear the cheering. Yeah. That is life, isn't it?
That's very beautiful.
And
you know what?
It could have been you.
I think about something you said so often. Because it really rung true with me, which was why when you got knocked out playing rugby and you were laying face down on the floor and you thought to yourself, I'm not knocked out, I could just get up any minute, I just don't want to. I think about all the time because I've definitely had it.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, no!
When you're concussed, you're not unconscious. Like, you know when people are out and can't remember anything? That's
different. No, it's a different
thing. It feels like you're pretending. I felt like I was
I passed out. I jumped up once. And you know, like when you get up, you get a dizzy head. I did it to the point where I then just fell back down to the floor.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, everyone's gathered around me like, oh, you're right.
And you can hear
I felt
him.
Like an absolute fraud. I did black out, but in my head, I'm like...
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing. Yeah, there's 1% of lizard brain left alive. And it's almost like you're choosing to not reply.
Yeah.
And I remember, I felt guilty. Like, an opposition player went, oh, whoa, hang on, stop, he's out. So they sort of like tried to... And
well,
I was
at that
face
point,
down.
You've got to anyway.
Well, I was face down, and all I remember is my eyes were open, and like blades of grass were like in my eyes.
Yeah,
and I was like, like my eyes were wide open, but I was face down in the, and I could hear an opposition player go, "Whoa, whoa, stop! He's out! There's a guy out down here," and I was thinking,
"Down here, rugby's such a weird sport."
Yeah, and it's almost like I was thinking, "Oh yeah, they think I'm knocked out. Don't
yeah.
tell them you." And I pretend, but I wasn't pretending. It's so odd. It's such.
I got attacked on the walk home from a pub down a big hill, and they. Jumped us because the guy my flatmate was being a proper prick and then he picked on some people who were even more pricks than him basically so he follows us down a hill but it was one of the most pathetic things that ever happened. I was kind of spun round onto the floor and then a guy booted me in the throat and I had exactly that thing of people checking me and me going, well, they're saying I'm knocked out, so if I move now, it'd be ridiculous.
But it's not, you're not pretending. Thing. It's so... It's
no,
just,
yeah.
So this is the
just
thing, like, Ash. So when
I'm
you
stay
go...
Here. I'm just going to stay
I guess,
laying here.
Yeah, but I think people use terms like lizard brain, don't they? Like you got
people
you got. I mean, Freud had the id, the ego and the superego. Like he compartmentalised your consciousness like that. And it's so true that... there are departments that you've in your brain, until you get it, one switched off, you don't realize there are departments. It's like sleep paralysis. It's like,
yeah, I'm lucky never to have had that.
Well, I have had that a lot. And when it first happened, I remember it was the scariest thing that ever happened to me. And I remember inside panicking. And now when I get it, because I know what it is, the part of my brain that is awake recognizes that the other part's asleep. And I just go back to sleep and it doesn't bother me. But I remember I've had it a lot. And I remember the first time I had sleep paralysis, properly freaking out. It was like the one video for Metallica. It felt like that. I was screaming in my head, but couldn't move or communicate.
Ugh.
But now it's fine. But so there are departments of your brain which makes you think so. Like, you know the thing about the dizzy standing up thing and adrenaline and salt? Do you know about all that?
No.
So you know when you stand up, like you just said it, you can faint.
Yeah.
So when you were asleep back in the day on the planes, and if you heard a tiger coming, right? Or a wolf or whatever, and you got up from sleeping, because when you go down, when you're laying down flat, obviously because of gravity, your blood pressure drops because your heart doesn't have to work as hard to get the blood up to your brain.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad design flaw that our brain's right at the top of our head, isn't it, to think about it? Because if you don't get enough blood flow to your brain, you think cloudy, and then if it, in a more extreme case, you can pass out. Now, the brain is us. That is our CPU, it's where we are stored. If your brain's gone, you are food, basically. The difference between you being food and a living thing is like whether you zig when you should have zagged, and that all comes from your brain. So it's a design flaw. It's right at the top of your head in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the furthest thing. Yeah, it's going to be the...
Which makes me think we haven't evolved to a gravity environment, which there's a few things that make me think that.
Like, we are not flying, you know, you should be able to.
Well, we're not of this earth. Like, the gravity here is so much, you know, like they can measure, like the moon is 1/7. So I think we've evolved. We are actually evolved from a place which had maybe it was the water. Like they say we came out of the water. Now, the weird thing is when astronauts go into space, within 24 hours, their bones start getting lighter and less dense and weaker. Like we are re-evolving. Like, I don't think that we can transform to a new environment that quick, but you can devolve that quick. Do you know what I'm saying? The difference?
Yep.
So I think we come from a different gravitational locale. Anyway,
okay. So
when you hear the wolf and you stand up, for a brief few seconds, there's not enough blood pressure to service your brain. That's why you get lightheaded when you stand up too quick. Right? So they say when you get up, so what happens is your body, when you're laying down in the sleep, produces a finite amount of adrenaline to get you through the next 24 hours. So when you first stand up, your brain detects, oh, not enough blood. Your body goes, oh, pumps out adrenaline, stimulates the heart, raises the blood pressure, but you've used your adrenaline. So there is a theory that if you have a little vial of Himalayan salt, they reckon, or some sort of salt beside the bed, when you wake up in the morning, before you sit up, stand up,
That is your flight or fight, that song.
Yeah. So you have
stand
a little
up
bit
for
of
your
salt.
Life, is it?
When
or are
you
right?
When you lay in bed, have some salt. Artificially raises your blood pressure. Then if you stand up, you
does it
don't...
do it that quick?
No, I think you have to have it and wait. I don't know. You'd have to research. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about.
So have a spoonful of salt every morning.
I don't know about a spoonful, but you need something to raise your blood pressure that isn't your adrenaline. Because once you've used 50% of your adrenaline, whatever, I don't know the numbers, that's it for the day. And you can have the afternoon slumps. Apparently, people that do this feel a lot more energy throughout the day. You're using up so much of your adrenaline by kickstarting your brain blood pressure. That makes sense. I don't know if it's true, but if someone says something that makes sense, I sort of all go, oh, that does actually make sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does make sense that there would be that mechanism, because you're laying on the floor, you hear the wolf, you stand up, the one that, you know, you're fucking lightheaded and the wolf gets you. So there is a thing that when you get up, it does make sense that your blood pressure would drop when you're laying down. It makes sense that when you first get up, there would be a little few seconds of discrepancy when it needs... And salt does increase your blood pressure. Like, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
If you show me the workings out, I can be on board with it. If it actually works, I don't know. But it makes it feels like it should.
I think I'm in. Well, it does make sense. Whether or not it's like...
Yeah.
It's just... It might be like a hack.
Or a placebo, actually, couldn't it? Like, you might start... You might get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is how my fucking stupid idiot brain works. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would probably go, oh, am I feeling tired? Oh, no, I can't. We had my salt this morning. That can even have an effect.
But would it have an effect on the actual adrenaline?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I'm saying if it doesn't, even as a placebo for how inexpensive salt is, I've never done it. I've never actually
What's
done it.
What's the biggest placebo you think has worked on you? Have you got any? Can you think of one? I've put you on the spot there.
Can I just say that you're either asking the right or wrong person. I am the most susceptible to placebo. I go to the doctors, right? In agony, not this actually, this nerve thing's different. But I will go to the doctors with something very painful. And as soon as they tell me what it is, 50% of it goes away.
Yeah.
So much of my brain is, no one's ever had this before. I've got an incurable new disease.
Well, you're entitled to that after what happened to your throat.
Yeah, okay. That's true, actually. But is that narcissism? That I go, oh, well, no one else has ever been this ill.
Like I'm the same.
Yeah, but once I go, oh, no, that's just glandular fever. That was why I kept going to the doctors with that, because it didn't work. When they went, oh, it's glandular fever, I was like, I went back and I started Googling. I was like, well, normally when people tell me what I've got, it goes away half. Like, I feel better by half.
Yeah, and when they told you that and you were still rotting where you stood.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
Yeah, but anyway, so I think placebo effects. I think this is slightly not what you're asking, but it kind of is. I was a sort of, not lucky pants, but items of clothing I felt had powers that...
I am totally non-superstitious, but I had like a lucky sock tie to play football in.
Yeah, that's a placebo, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same ballpark, isn't it?
Like, but that's where that can affect things. Like it might be a placebo, but it does work because you are prepared to play that little bit better because you're like, it's a frame of mind thing. Sport is about
so there's a
tiny
ball,
little advantage.
There's a ball running to go dead and it's going to be a corner to the opposition. And in the back of your mind, do you just put in that little extra few percent to sprint and save the corner because you've got your sock tie in? You're not thinking that, but is it?
It's Billy's boots, isn't it?
It's Billy's boots. It's Terry's super T-shirt.
It's Viagra.
That's a good one. I think that could be one actually. Because yeah, I see they sell those. They sell things in vending machines.
Yeah, not actual Viagra, but
those they clearly
blue
don't do
pill.
Anything. The little blue pill. They clearly is that should just be called the placebo pill.
Yeah, it could because it cannot be.
Cannot be.
Because they can't sell those things like that.
The active ingredient in those things is pharmacy only or prescription or pharmacy.
Yeah, and those ones that will be in toilets will be caffeine.
But I bet that some people do work. I bet they do work on people.
Oh, definitely. Because, well, especially as a lot of those problems can be psychological. So if
like,
you can bypass
100%
that.
ED, as we call it at my group, is...
EDA.
EDAA. EDA. That sounds like an African genocidal, doesn't it? Ethiopian Defence Alliance or something.
I go to EDA.
I know in Anarchy in the UK, Johnny Rotten lists a load of things like IRA, EDA. And to my shame, I've never looked up what half of them were.
You don't need to.
Is this the IRA? Is this the UDA? I think it's UDA. Is this a UTI? Is it a urinary tract infection?
I'm going to change the subject, but only because you've brought it up. So I was in London all
weekend.
Can I
stop you there?
Yes.
What subject? What? No, yeah. Don't pretend we have subjects on here getting highfalutin. This is just chatbot bollocks. Can I say something important?
Yeah.
I need to pause for 3 minutes and come back.
So I've got an interesting thought. It's not interesting. Fucking hell. Who am I kidding? I spent the weekend in London.
Ooh! We'll have an art discussion. Yeah.
I will have an art discussion, yeah. But, so I went to this pub and there was pictures on the wall of people who frequented the pub over the years. I don't know the name of the pub, I'm sorry, but it's like, it says on like the blurb of the pub, like when you look at it on Wikipedia or whatever, it says like, famous for in the movie industry. So it would be like, this is the place where Ridley Scott signed his four picture deal with
MGM. I thought you meant it's a location. Is it more like a
no, it's like a hangout.
Well, I've been to that Yorkshire Grey, which is near,
is that in London?
Yeah, well, that's right near the BBC radio place that you go to.
All right, so we
and
were,
on the wall
we
in there, they've got all the pictures of all the radio stars that used to drink in there, similar to that. They must be near a studio or something, is my point.
Yeah, well, it's weird, yeah, because it was quite Soho-y, but it was like all these pictures on the wall. But it's strange, I find it weird how it's like, yeah, Ridley Scott, Ewan McGregor famously frequents here, and when he's in town, Jake Gyllenhaal will always come. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, why would they? Like,
and
now,
why would we
what?
Care?
And it's packed with people who aren't those people. Why would Jake Gyllenhaal go, well, I'm going to go in that pub. It's got 300 people in a room that's too small.
Are there any pubs around here where there's likely to be tourist autograph hunters? Yeah, that one. Yeah. I'll go. That's the last pub they'd go to.
Exactly that. But, so up on the wall, there was a picture of Sid Vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking.
John Beverley.
Because the... You are?
John Beverley is his real name.
So, they... Well, they weren't famous for that long, Sex Pistols, were they?
They were famous. The band weren't together long, but they're famous since. But yes, I know what you mean. They were one album, Short Concern, yes.
So how long... What was that year's active? 77 to 79?
Six to eight, I'd say. Never mind the bollocks, I think it came out late 70s, or 77, maybe. 77 was the summer of punk, but I think they might have, I don't know, 76, 77, yeah, one or the other.
Because they were like they weren't the originators of it, but they were the popular, they were instrumental,
that, it's very ties into the sort of art you were looking at this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
They were okay. They were postmodern, yeah.
But here's the weirdest thing for me, right? Because like they are synonymous with it. They were... I remember hearing things about like Malcolm McLaren. This would just be where you would see Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood and Sid Vicious and Johnny Rotten. They were just here. They would be there. Oh, this was a hangout for the Sex Pistols and the Damned and all of these things. But I was thinking, like, what were they actually doing? Because, like, were they just... did they live right there and they were out every day just being seen?
Back then, central London was somewhere you could live. Do you remember you had all this in the 90s as well with the Good Mixer in Camden? Like, oh, Echo Belly drinking here. It's like, do they really? That's fucking cool story.
But then, because this is like the scene, right, is what I'm really talking about.
Yeah, that came back in the 90s with the Camden, didn't it? That was what they tried to do with Britpop. Scenes don't have a centre anymore. And that was the last one I can think of that had
Was Johnny Rotten, like, waking up in his flat in Soho, let's say?
Squat. Living in a squat.
Was he actually? Probably, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
But that's also very good for the image, isn't it? But, so was he then waking up, going downstairs, out into the street with his leather jacket on and no T-shirt, and going, right, okay.
That's Johnny Rotten. That's Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious. Sorry, I meant Sid Vicious.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
And then he's like, right, what are we doing today? And then, other than the heroin, but I'm not into that just yet.
Well, Sid Vicious, now you've heard the expression which they use about people like Nick Fuentes or whatever. They're captured by their audience. You know that expression?
Yeah, so he that fell judge, into that Sid trying Vicious, to live up to it.
Sid Vicious, nobody was captured by the audience. They created a character for him, almost like Vince McMahon would come up with a gimmick for a wrestler. Like, yeah. like you'd have a wrestler and he'd be called, like, Tugboat.
He'd yeah. go,
and then, like, 2 years later, there'd be a different wrestler like called, like, the Vet, and he'd be stroking a cat or something. You'd say, that's Tugboat. Like, completely
well, that
different...
is what happened with him. He changed from Typhoon to Tugboat, or vice versa.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But, yeah, he did, didn't he? Tugboat, and then the natural disasters. And then he was Shockmaster.
Was Earthquake.
He was Shockmaster. The funniest clip ever.
Well, I don't know it, but...
They unveil a new wrestler, big unveiling, and he was called the Shockmaster General, maybe. And he was going to smash in live on telly through this paper wall... And nobody
did he trip
knew.
Over and bang his head or something?
Yeah, his Stormtrooper helmet fell off and it was Tugboat. And he has to sort of like scramble, pick it up, put his back on his head and then style it out. It's hilarious.
Fucking hell.
Because what happened was a sort of grip or someone said, oh, this isn't safe. So they screwed a 2x4 along the bottom to shore up the frame and never told him.
Straight over it. But yeah, so I found it really, really difficult because, like, I just cut. Like, is it every day he has to go through this rigmarole? It's a piece again. That's a piece of art in itself. It's him going, oh, I've got to go and sit in the cafe, and then when they're going to the pub, they're not going to the pub.
Think back. This is before the Atari. Never mind mobile phones. What the fuck else are you gonna do? Back in the
days. Yeah, but I mean,
you must have just had to go out all day, every day. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, I know. It's so strange. It's like, right, well, I'll meet you at the pub at 11, yeah? Yeah, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we'll sit there and hope someone takes a photo.
Yeah, but think, Ash, back then, right, 2, maybe 3 channels, there was daytime TV was almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there being, like, a test card.
Yeah. Now, well, people go, I remember the train card. London to Brighton train.
Yeah, but you'd a test that. Card is basically the TV company saying, our channel is on, we ain't got nothing to show you, but this is it. So if you want to tune in to sort of like, do you remember you have to tune your TV?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Do you remember that? There'd be a little wind, like a little drawer would drop down and there'd be like these tiny little wheels underneath like the buttons that you had to sort
but
of
then,
like.
I remember like tuning in Channel 4, like it would say BBC 1 ITV, maybe BBC 2.
That's what I'm saying, 2 or 3, yeah.
To get Channel 4... You had to sort of guess where it was because it didn't say Channel 4 on there because it was made before Channel 4 existed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you just so anyway, you wake up in 1976, right? You're in a squat, so you've got no heating. And you got a mobile phone. You ain't got a fucking nothing to play. You probably ain't got a phone. What did you
can't
do?
Can't play
and
an
they
instrument.
Haven't got a job.
You can't write music.
Well yeah, famously. What did you do? If you had all like me, I wake up at 11. I play Block Blast. I play chess. I look through my messages. I record a podcast for you. Then that's pretty much it. What the fuck? If I didn't have technology, yeah. I couldn't do any of those. Not one of those things could I do.
But then, see, yeah. But so was it just this agreed thing that there'd be some newspaper reporters?
No, I think it was organic back then. I think that might have been pre-paparazzi. I mean, I think naively, and maybe this is because it's when I became conscious of. But the 80s seemed to be the birth of that gotcha. I mean, you had the Profumo scandal and stuff like that, but that was more like Watergate. That was like a politician sleeping with a cool girl who also sleeping with a Russian spy. But that kind of like, oh, Sam Fox. I think that was invented. Okay, it was in the 80s, was it? Was the 70s a bit more journalistic integrity? I feel like things had to be important to get in the paper in the
70s. I bet it wasn't, but it just never came out that anything was corrupt.
I guess
really fucking dodgy.
Well, I guess the Sex Pistols made the front page. They could have been the birth of that outrage culture. That Filth and the Fury headline when they went on the Bill Grundy show and swore. That could be the first time when the sort of thing that would normally be on the showbiz page on page 20 was on the front. I don't know.
Made it to the front.
Maybe.
When that man made him swear again after he swore, apologised.
That was basically booze versus speed. He was representing, but apparently he'd been in the pub and had like 5 pints, like he did every.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Rotten had had speed and hadn't been to bed for 3 days.
So that's the thing. But I mean, what was he doing for those 3 days as well? Same thing, isn't it?
Not sex. Sex is boring.
Oh, really?
That famously. Yeah, he did. I was like, well, are you doing it wrong, mate? That was what? I didn't say that. Imagine saying that. Must be doing it wrong. Bloody hell. I don't find it boring.
But then he murdered his partner, did he?
No, that was Sid Vicious. And they also think that was Rocket's Red Glare that did that.
I'm saying Sid Vicious, really. I'm talking about him. Because
that was obviously an impression of Johnny Rotten. Come on.
Okay. Right, so Sid Vicious, did he actually murder her? Is that confirmed?
Well, I don't know. He got done for it, but he died, didn't he, between? Because he got out and his mum scored him some heroin.
Yeah, that's what they think.
And he'd been using weeks. He'd been using the weak shit, and she got him the good shit. So, you know, all looking after
her
boy.
Intentionally.
That may be intentionally. But he was the ultimate and the original captured by his audience person that I know of. He actually,
so I wonder, who was he before? Who was John Beverly then?
He was a very gentle soul, apparently. His mum fucked him up. I think she was a drug user. Oh, my God.
That's all right.
His mum was a drug user. Bloody drug users.
She was reliant on
I'll tell you, I go to the town, I walk down here, there's so many bloody drug users.
I think that's fine.
I mean, I think he looks like a drug.
Did he murder her with a piece of glass or something? Was it in the film?
In the film. Yeah, I don't know. It was at the Chelsea Hotel, I think. I don't know where it was. But I think she had slept with Johnny Rotten. I think, or she tried to, and he knocked her back, and she ended up with Sid Vicious, and Johnny Rotten always felt bad about it because he knew she was bad news. But funny, was just like, get away from me. And she got away from him and clamped onto Sid. But then, you know, if you're in a band and you go on Anything Goes or whatever it was, the Tony Wilson vehicle, and you play live and your girlfriend is prepared to stand in the wings in a full Nazi outfit and support you, that's a keeper. You know, she was completely dressed up like a Nazi standing there. Watching him from
not
the wind.
Not even.
And they filmed it and
show.
It went out on telly and no one was offended. Oh, I don't know. I don't know that no one was offended, but it went out.
Yeah, no one said, maybe you shouldn't be in shot.
But this is the thing about art. So this is the thing where the sex. This is iconoclasm. This is iconoclasm. Now, the swastika. This is what. Mate, this is the thing about art. This is the thing what people. I don't know. Not what people don't get, that there's anything to get. It doesn't have to be good. Like I can't remember who it was. To my shame, I forgot the name of the artist. Did the big portrait of Myra Hindley made out of child's handprints.
Oh, yeah.
So people were offended by that because Myra Hindley's image is in a gallery. Now, this people think art equals good. So if you go and look at the Mona Lisa in the Louvre, you go, oh, that is a technically a brilliant piece of work, right? And then you go look at someone's painted a landscape like a constable or whatever. And you go, oh, that is a technically. Then you start looking at Jackson Pollock.
Yeah.
And people go, well, that's technically not good. It's like, okay. So art isn't about, just because something's in a gallery doesn't necessarily mean it's good. Now, when you're fucking with icons, you can either take something beloved, like the cross of Christianity, and invert it, like they did in the You what, sorry?
I said Bugs Bunny, you said the cross.
Yeah, you take something like, you know, like, okay, so there was, like, in the late 80s when I was into hardcore punk, you would get a band like Minutemen and in their album notes or the sleeve they'd have drawn, they'd have like there was a picture of Mickey Mouse shooting up. So there's Mickey Mouse with bags under his eyes and he's got a tourniquet around his arm between his teeth and
how did they capture that?
Yeah, no. But that's iconoclasm, isn't it? Because it's not about Mickey Mouse. It's about what Mickey Mouse represents. Mickey Mouse represented this saccharine 50s family entertainment. Whatever about, I know Walt Disney wasn't a great guy, but Mickey Mouse symbolises an innocence of pure and a childhood. And then you've got him jacking up.
A juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's a juxtaposition. It's also, that's iconoclasm. It's a fallen idol, right? Like an inverted cross. Hitler did it himself. The swastika was actually a Hindu symbol, and he reversed it, like you reverse, like Satanists turn crosses upside down or pentagrams upside down. I've spoken about this elsewhere, but there you go. And but that, so when you got iconoclasm, now that picture of Myra Hindley, where she's got the bleached blonde hair, you can see her roots, she's got that black and white mugshot of her, is iconic. Now I don't mean it's good.
No, I understand. Yeah. So everyone
then,
knows
when you
it.
See that in a gallery, and you go, "Oh, there's a big picture of Myra Hindley in here." Now, when you get closer to it, as you walked up to it, and I was lucky enough to see it, it was made up of children's handprints. But from a distance, it's an iconic image. But when you look at why is it, what is it made of? Now, her image became an icon on the back of dead children, literally.
Yeah.
And that art looks at that, and people were so offended. Why is that in here? What do you call it? Celebrating a child murderer. It's like, it's not celebrating. It's an essay looking at icons, what's actually behind the image, what's the image actually made up of, like the blood that this image has been, you know. So then, I don't even want on about this.
No, I do. I get it.
When people go and watch art, this is just shit. It's like, but you said it wasn't shit. Good?
My thing, we had this conversation over the weekend, so I toured art this weekend, right? I think my big point is I just don't get it, and I'm also frustrated by the fact that there are art gatekeepers that, and I fully understand the thing of what, yeah, but you didn't do it. They did it. You didn't. But even if I paid the money, rented a space, said this is my art gallery, and like I shit in a bucket in one place, and I took a card door and dented it in another place and pinned that on the wall, and then if I said, right, this is it, this is my art gallery, no art critic is gonna go, this is phenomenal, let's put this up in the Tate.
Okay, so let's talk about something slightly different, but I think you'll get the point. Norm Macdonald on a talk show tells an old joke from the 50s.
Yeah.
Anyone could have gone in there and told that joke. But you know Norm Macdonald is hilarious. You know he understands comedy. He's a Jedi of comedy. And you know that him telling that joke, you're looking for an extra. It means something. Your mum could have gone on there and told a joke badly and got the punchline wrong. Him doing it is different. Now, these people are trained artists. And if they think that there's something worth looking at here, it's worth looking at here. And if you look at it and go, that is absolute shit, anyone could do that, that is a valid response and it does spark conversations. This is the thing about, this is what postmodernism is. It's, so this is by the same equation, if you went to a gallery and go, I want to see technique, I want to see craft, I want to see skill. That's like going, when you go to a comedy club, I only want to see well-crafted pullback and reveals. As you and I know, you watch someone that could do well-crafted pullback and reveals, you said, well, that, so what? That's crap. That's hack. That's
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
But someone but who I, can, I, but painting outside the lines, isn't it? Thinking outside the box. And like, they can.
So you studied art, right?
I did.
You studied art. So if you shit in a bucket, put it in the corner of a garage and say that's art, and I shit in a bucket, put it in the corner of a garage and say that's art, you're saying that because you are trained and you have this, he must mean it because he understands the concepts, that means that they're more likely to go, well, the one that Justin's done must be more.
It's about choice, isn't it? Why did Norm Macdonald choose to tell a joke like that? Why did he choose to do that roast of Bob Saget the way he did? He got up in a roast where the culture was going and like, everyone was getting, it was meaner and meaner. He famously said that he was helping to write for the roast of William Shatner, whose wife had just drowned in a swimming pool. And Comedy Central went, oh, by the way, just no one mentioned his dead wife. And everyone was like, oh, what? I've got... And it's like, so he noticed that way that was going. So he went up and he got like this old book of 1930s retirement jokes and, you know, did that. So his choice to do that is different to someone who doesn't know to just get up and do that. Yes, it does make a difference. But it doesn't mean it's good. But if
I couldn't fathom it.
Doesn't matter.
I heard this dad talking to his kid. And I was like, oh, don't. His dad was like, yeah, this piece of art. We went to, I think it was in the portrait gallery. And it's like, the boy was like, what's this bit here? And then the dad's like, well, that looks like there was a mistake made when it was being painted, and then the artist has like gone over it, doesn't it? Like you could see that it's covered up, like you could see the colour of something underneath it. And then it's like, yeah. And he went, or maybe it wasn't a mistake. Maybe that is sort of a message.
Well, I've gone full circle on this guy, because I was thinking, oh, this prick doesn't know what he's talking about. He's redeemed himself there. Because
maybe this says more.
Well,
it
does.
And what does it make you think? But does it?
This is the thing, Ash. Anyone goes, I could put anything in a gallery, and an artist says, oh, the artist, that's not a mistake. Like, what I'm saying is, you wouldn't correct a mistake and it would be visible. You might.
No.
Like, a pleb might, right? I'm like, oh, that's... anything.
Or not very good artist.
But an artist, every single fucking... I don't know what better word to use. Every pixel of every installation or painting or is there for a reason. There are no mistakes in art. That's the beauty of it. Now you can have a fortuitous accident, but once that becomes part of the piece, it's deliberate. It's I know it's hard to explain, and this is the thing. I spent my 20s kind of defending it. Or not defending it, but defending my, I don't even say love for it, because I don't love it, but just the fact that I am a bit more prepared to go with it and try and get it. So now I don't care. I really don't care. And nor should anyone care. It's like I said to you, the example of, like, you know, some people fucking think Take That are the greatest band ever. I think they're absolute shit, but they are a band. But with art, people who don't know anything about it go, that's not art. And I go, well, why are you just... If you go... That's the whole debate. If an artist can say, me shitting in a bucket is art, and you go, well, you can't just do it. Well, how can you go say it isn't? Like,
no,
No.
I don't have a problem with it being there or anyone enjoying it. I really don't. But, like, one of the installations was an exact amount of sand is poured on the floor and four handfuls are taken off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like this artist, 1968, and it sits there, but it isn't the same sand and it isn't the same.
It's conceptual though, isn't it? Okay, yeah, so let's look into that. So, Sands of Time. I'm just off the top of my head. I don't know this piece. Sands of Time. What's an egg timer got in it? Four hands. I'm thinking, is that about a couple? Is this like we are meant to pair off and then you wait to die? There is always connotations and context.
But also, so in one of the other things where the guy just hung a bed, a metal sprung bed frame on a hook on a wall from its corner. So it hung there. That was a piece of art. And then, but all the writing about it is perhaps he means blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, either he meant it or he didn't, or you shouldn't be telling me what he meant.
Oh, that's the whole thing. That's perhaps when they write like that, that's to stimulate discourse. This is the thing with modern art is, right? Two people looking at a crossword. There's a clue that's a bit ambiguous. And there's two possible answers or more, and they could all be correct. Right?
Yeah.
Now, some people want to know what the answer is. And some people are happy for their answers to be. So it could be like a three-letter word, something I-N. I've got some in the... There's one in the kitchen. And it could be tin or it could be bin. Now, some people are like, which is it? And some people are like, oh, for me, I've bin. For you, it's tin. We're going to have to... That's what it is. People want definitive answers, and it's not the science. This is where science has got fucked up. That's a sidebar. Let's not get into that. But that's why it's the art. There's no definitive. It's not an answer to a sum.
And no, but then let me decide. Don't tell me.
Who's told you?
On the wall, it's like it might be this, it might be that.
Yeah, but you've just said it might be this or it might be
I just find it, like, these things are worth a fortune. One of them was five sacks with different grains in it on the floor. One's a pile of sand. One was literally a lump of concrete.
You're describing the fucking... Oh, Mona Lisa's just a woman.
Is the other thing. I'll get to this. So we also went to the National Gallery. And again, it leaves me cold if it hasn't got something to it. Like... Oh, I'm good. I can't think of the bloody artist.
Do you know what? Do you know what modern art is? Every single piece is a mirror. If there's nothing to you, there's nothing to it. That's honestly what.
No,
I
that's
think.
Good. I like that. That's good. That's good. That's a good thing. I like what you've said there. I like that.
Can I tell you my toilet story?
No.
Okay, go on.
I need to tell you this.
But I've just remembered something. Go on.
So the National Gallery, right? I like it. Like, what's the one where it's the three people sitting on the riverbank and it's like made of tiny dots? Like the shading is done with dots. It's very famous. The artist also did a woman and she's got a hat on.
Oh, three people really in a riverbank?
Yeah, and there's a dog and there's people in the water. It's very, very famous anyway. And it's made.
You're not talking Lowry, are you?
Don't think so. But anyway.
I don't know.
So anyway,
I'm
looked at that.
I'm not
great
on classical art.
I was like, oh, that's great. Fine that's art. A great painting where it's done. Like, oh. I can see what he's done there. Loads and loads of dots. That's the shading. Very, very clever. But then
very
I look
clever.
At... Very clever. But then I look at a painting of... King Charles II.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, it's quite a good painting. Like, but so what?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have photos.
Did you go in here after the modern?
No. Went modern last, actually.
But that's Josh, you're so close to... You just don't know that you have got it. That's what it is. So what? That is art. When someone goes and looks at the Mona Lisa, I keep using that because I don't know what the sunflowers Van Gogh, what the famous thing.
I saw that one.
Universally, like that. Everyone goes, this is great. Most people.
But I don't know why it's great.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I like.
So you look
at
that. An artist looks at that and goes, so what? Then they hang a bed frame up and go, so what? But I looked at that and I instantly thought, why have they decided to put it on a very perfunctory... Looks like it's not part of it, Hook.
I think I'm conflating it to comedy a lot of the time as well. Because, you know, like, say your best bit that gets the biggest laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, but say... And then sort of go, oh, it's incredible, Justin, the way you come in with this, and I see your double meaning there, mm-hmm. and, like, you're insinuating this, but you're thinking that. And often you're like, no, mate, it's just about my dick.
Mm. Well, no, I'm not.
Do you know what I mean?
You are. Don't tar me with your...
But, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, right. How did you ever come up with that? And I'm like, well, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
So, and then...
Oh, okay. Being a comedian of over a decade, when that happened to you, you saw something. You knew that was appropriatable. I don't think that's a word.
Yeah.
Like Duchamp did with the urinal. Now, a normal person could... or not.
But that was more of a statement. So I like that one, actually, because he laid that down and went...
This is the thing, you think you have to like it. This is the thing.
No, I'm talking about from my point of view.
I know, but from my point of view, if you go to a gallery and say it infuriates you, that is as valid. It's not... Art galleries aren't a celebratory space. That's the myth.
This feels like a cop-out.
Yeah, but it does. That's because you've copped out of interpreting it. You
this
want the world
like
done
when
for you,
Chris Morris.
Mr. Fucking the best film ever made is Deadpool. Oh, he's definitely the goodie. He's definitely the baddie. Oh, he killed someone and definitely said a funny quip. That's not what this is level above.
You've
that.
You've seen Deadpool as well then, have you?
I've seen Deadpool. Of course I have.
Duchamp put that thing on its side and signed it Art 1917 because he was like, anything could be art. Mm. So I like that.
He might have had an epiphany looking at the Mona Lisa.
And
gone, so what? What's the difference with that? And then he's gone for a piss, right? Before we went to the gift shop and gone...
This is what I think.
Well, that urinal, think about it. The thing about urinals, this is what I've always took from Fountain, and I don't know this to be the case. I've never vocalised this, but in my head, now you're forcing me to think about it and reassess things. And that's good. That is its purpose. A urinal hangs on the wall. Like, so he probably thought, I don't know this, this is how my brain could have come to that. Oh, so if you hang anything on a wall, is that art? And then you go for a piss, you're like, well, that's hanging, is that art? But he doesn't hang it on the wall, does he? He's laid it on his back and called it Fountain.
Beautiful. I like that.
So that's what he's, I mean, this to me, that's clearly something that you go, well, what hangs on a wall that isn't art? And it's like the most disgusting, I'm not disgusted by urination, but it's the most... Outside, if you think of art as high beauty, what's a very like the most perfunctory basic serves a purpose? No one thinks about it. A urinal is purely designed But I'm not as basic as thinking,
oh, that's a very good painting of a landscape by Constable. That's a good piece of art. I'm not that basic. Like, I've met people who can do really nice.
To someone who studied, not that this doesn't sound elitist, to someone who studied, you're not far off.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I know lots of people. I don't really understand what makes Constable better than those people who do photorealistic drawings. I don't really understand what makes him any better.
Well, it's not better. It's just collectible because it's old, isn't it?
No, yeah, but... That's
grandfathered in. The Mona Lisa is not that good a painting. I mean, it's because it becomes an icon, which is what they were doing with the Myra Hindley thing. This is it. Why is that face now? So, like... It's like this. So you go to there and you see a block of concrete on the floor. And you could go, well, I've seen loads of them. I've got a block of concrete in my back garden. What's the difference? Somebody might have a coffee mug with a print of the Mona Lisa on it. That's not the Mona Lisa, is it?
No.
It's not. That block of concrete in the gallery, is it different? Isn't it different? Is the fact an artist put it there something? So then you start this, like there's exponential forks should open up in your thought process when you look at it. And that comes from context. That's all it is. Basically, modern art is what the fuck is context? And you have to forget everything you know and just...
I need the artist to tell me.
Because you're context. Redacted and like Deadpool. I know who the baddie is. I know the goodie one in the end.
Because it might not have been... There might have been some building work and they left it there.
Yeah.
So surely I need to know your intention, because otherwise...
If there's nothing in you, there's nothing in it. If you need that, you
need
that.
No, I like that. That's good. I really like that.
If you're not prepared to think outside of the... Like I said, that bed thing
you showed
me... But
if you put it down because you're... Like that thing you're saying about Deschamps, right? He's gone, that's not art. It doesn't just hang on a wall, blah, 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 right? Is the Mona Lisa still art if it doesn't hang on the wall? I like that. But if... that's quite overt.
No, the thing about the Mona Lisa's point was you can have that exact image reproduced, but that's an artifact. That's not about the art.
Yes.
That's an artifact, back to Constable.
The concrete block can't mean anything unless I know what the artist intended it to mean, because it is just a concrete block.
But the artist might not have intended it to mean anything.
He's a cunt.
It can be a question. Art can be a question as much as an answer, you know.
I went in the portrait gallery, right? There's a photorealistic life-size painting of Judi Dench. It's, if you're talking about a piece of art, as in, like, just, when I say a piece of art,
technical.
I mean... Technical, it's phenomenal. Like, you can see her coat, the fibres on her coat.
But AI can do that.
Yeah, AI can do that. Mm. Very true. Then there's a painting of Lenny Henry in the same area. And it's fucking shit. It's like, well, who's that? And you had to look to see that it was Lenny Henry. But they hang on the same wall.
That might be that you're racist.
They hang on the same wall.
Yeah.
One's bad.
No, but again, you're binary. You really have got this thing in your head that
but
you think...
If you're doing a portrait of someone and you can't work out who it is, that's a bad portrait.
Who did the portrait?
Do you think that paints that statue of Cristiano Ronaldo where he looks like a cartoon character? Is that still a good statue?
Why isn't it a good statue? Is it a good
because
likeness?
It looks fucking
is it a
ridiculous.
Good likeness? No, it's not a good likeness. No, I'm answering my own question. It's not a good likeness. Is it a good statue? I don't know. A statue and a portrait isn't solely judged from
the
likeness.
So as long as that artist goes...
Otherwise,
well,
I would have died when they invented the camera.
This is how I see Cristiano Ronaldo. I know it looks nothing like him. But as long as the artist goes, I wasn't trying to make him look like Cristiano Ronaldo.
If an artist answered your fucking questions, they're not an artist. And I'm not saying, like, you are...
How you get away with it. They're getting away with it.
This is there is what it all boils down to.
Because Cristiano Ronaldo artist is like, Yeah. I meant it to look like that. Yeah, but I'm not telling anyone. But inside he's going, it's fucking shit. I can't do fucking statues.
Well, what is art? Is art a celebration of technical competence? Or is it about expression?
And these are questions. Justin Pollock. I like Justin Pollock.
Jackson. These are questions.
I like Janet Jackson. Jackson, yeah. Pollock.
Like it when a fucking that old Justin Timberlake ripped her lil out. Cool. Yeah, not much. Anyway, can I tell you my toilet story?
Yeah, I'm still
because I feel like I'm being captured by my audience.
I went to an Andy Warhol exhibition and. It was about his advertising, and that made me feel conflicted because you told me about it can't serve a purpose. But if you've done a piece of art for VW,
well, Chris Burden. Oh, and this ties in. Fucking this all ties in. Just mentioned Super Bowl. Did you see the Kanye or the Yay advert at the Super Bowl?
Did he just do his own video on his iPhone or something?
Yep. So a $7 million his album or his clothes, I think his website. So a $7 million dollar advertising slot was basically a TikTok or a, you know, like a little hi guys, I'm just like a social media. But Chris Burden, who was a performance artist who I quite admired back in the day, did a piece called Through the Night Softly, which he put some broken glass on the floor and he was certainly topless. I don't know if he was naked, had his hands either tethered or held behind his back and was crawling across broken glass on his bare chest. And it was called Through the Night Softly. And that just without any explanation, he paid for advertised that on sort of like terrestrial television back in the 70s, I think.
Mm.
So that, I'm tying that in, you're saying Warhol did adverts. That was an advert, technically. It was an advertising slot, but that was a piece of art. Didn't serve a purpose, right? Kanye's was actually advertising, but then because of the way I've been conditioned and programmed to consume stuff in a different way, maybe. When you're at art school, the lecturer, what was his name? Piers something or other. I can't remember his name. He said, look, don't get it wrong. You're here for 3 years. We are basically 99%. We are training audiences. Like most people that go to art school, walk around art galleries with their hands behind their back. Consume, like you're not.
Yeah, he actually said, didn't he? Chances are none of you are going to be an artist.
Yeah, and he was right. But
oh, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm a comedian.
Oh, I was going to say piss artist. That wasn't. I don't even know what that means. What's a piss artist? Is that someone who's drunk?
Piss Christ. Do you know that piece of art?
No.
An artist took a little crucifix, you know, Christ on the cross with Christ on it, and put it in vials of his own.
Did you just explain Christ?
Well, a crucifix can be just the cross, can't it? Right. I mean the one with a little geezer on it. Okay. And he put it in like vials of his own piss.
Good.
And called it Piss Christ. Whether that's a comment on piss artist, I don't know. But, you know, it just chomps you, Ryan. You see, this is the thing. There's context. So when you've got that, let's talk about the bed thing quickly. I didn't look at it long and I didn't know that piece, but I did start to talk about it. Well, that hook looks like it's not part of it, but it is part of it. That's the thing with art. Everything's part of it. A corner of the bed's outside the swathe of yellow. So is this meant to be about what exists outside the frame? Again, like what leads to the iconic image of Myra Hindley was dead children. What's outside the frame, is that still part of the work? The bed, is that a comment on Tracy Emin? I don't know what year this piece was. Is that a comment on Tracy Emin's bed, which is a famous talking point about can anything be art? So his decision to display a bed, but the bare bones of the bed, also the bare bones of how that bed is hung there, but in front of a swath of yellow, is the yellow, the sunlight in which everything exists, and outside that is that backstage, or is backstage front stage? These are the sort of things I would think at just looking at that. That's the very... Yeah. You've gone, don't have a bed on there, but I like Deadpool.
Why are you obsessed with Deadpool all the time?
Because you said it's the best film ever made.
I don't think I did, but it's fine. Maybe I did.
You did. Anyway, Have you finished? I don't want to defend modern art because I don't really care about it.
I think you do. That's fine.
Don't do that to me. So my sink's blocked in the bathroom. I hope this is funny to end on. This is true. Not fun. It's tragic. Now, I need to get down. I've used the unblocker. It's too far gone. I need to get down.
Too far down the pipe?
You know what I mean. I need to get behind the sink and unscrew the U-bend and manually do it, but I can't. 7 weeks. I can't even lean forward to operate my phone while I'm driving, which I never would anyway. But you know, like when you get in your car and I have to sort of lean my right arm forward to put my sat-nav on. Fuck that. So I'm brushing my teeth the other morning and the sink's proper blocked. It's the worst it's ever been. Like even if you run the tap straight away, it's filling up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I sort of need a piss anyway. I'll brush my teeth while I'm having a piss and I'll spit the toothpaste down the toilet. And when I flush, so far, all makes sense?
Yep.
So I'm brushing my teeth and I've got my toothbrush in my mouth. I need two hands to undo my trousers and remove little Jussie. Unleash the dragon. I freed the tiger. I liberated the lion and I went to go, oh, by the way, the sink's blocked. And as I spoke, a massive deluge of toothpaste foam came out of my mouth and hit me square on the bell end. Simon the Gunger off of, what was his name? The Northerner. Cooking with gas.
I don't know.
You know what I mean, didn't you? He did the game show on like Going Live and he was like a Northerner. Simon, I don't know anyway. Oh, we're cooking with gas, team number one. And anyway, so this big blob of toothpaste has hit me, like my whole bell end's foamed in it. Right?
No.
Sink's blocked. So I've just done a dry thumb wipe. Oh, fuck. Wiped it all off. Flicked it in. Get in the car to go to a gig. And I reckon 15 minutes later, I'm in agony. Oh, they started.
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, the mints start taking hold.
I don't know if this is it makes it better or worse. I'm using the charcoal stuff at the minute just because it was on offer. You know, the black toothpaste with charcoal, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. That works. But anyway, I'm in the car and I'm like, girlfriend's driving because of my back. I've got the seat reclined back. I've got like two cushions under my head. And I'm like, my bell end is like on fire, bruv, but cold fire. Anyway, that's my toilet story. Don't spit toothpaste on your belly.
Did it ease off or what's the...
It did, but it, I mean, I had it for an hour. And I remember thinking, this is the point, because I'm uncircumcised.
Filthy son of a bitch.
So I think if I was... Does your house...
You must
get like a leathery... It must be like a sort of homeless guy's soles of his feet, innit? Like, all...
I imagine it forms a new foreskin.
Yeah, or like a just thicker skin.
Fold that back. You can push it back through the hole.
I have got a bit where I...
Yeah, it's a great
criticise the art of... But maybe they can spit toothpaste on their bellends. So every cloud, every cloud.
Thank you, listener. We'll be back on Wednesday if you pay for it. If you don't... See you on Monday, but you're really missing out. You could do a free trial on Patreon.
Didn't
even
get into my kebab shop story, did I? Fucking hell, bro.
We went down there yesterday.
Tell you out on Wednesday.
We'll get down on that. That's not an expression, but we'll get down on that on Wednesday. Thank you, listener. Speak to you on Wednesday, Justin.
Speak to you on Wednesday and we'll record it and put it out. And people that pay $1 a month can download and listen to it at their leisure.